cord on this computer. You see the red light?
I see the shiny red light up there.
Oh, Lord.
We're kind of strapped for time, so should we just get into it?
I feel very, like, loosey-goosey, but I feel like that's a mistake. I think it's going to go poorly very soon.
We're doing what we know is the wrong thing and not recording on a Sunday.
Yeah, this is not good. This was a mistake. Welcome to Know Your Rights, music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. Welcome
everybody. And Colton, I can say this officially to you. It may not be to the listener, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Yeah. Today was the beginning of my wife and I's we've planned a Hawaii honeymoon, which is now almost 5 years after our actual wedding, which you were at the reception of.
I think it's the last time I saw you in person.
You should have basked in the glow of
it was me. Very brief. I drove like 5 hours out here.
That is, I said hello to so many people that night that my head's still spinning. But we have decided where we finally get to our honeymoon. We've decided to it's not a diet necessarily, but we let loose for the past week, had all the gluten, all the sugar we wanted. And today was the beginning of constricting all of that.
I hope you stick to it. I have done okay with my New Year's resolutions, and I hope everybody out there has done amazing at their New Year's resolutions.
We're 4 days in, so you're doing a good job.
Yeah, man.
That was meant to be supportive. That didn't feel supportive.
Can we just pretend that we're where the listener is at, which is about a month in or something like that?
And you did a great job.
Thanks, man.
All those times. Oh, Lord. So you have news for me. You were teasing me before we actually hit record.
Yes.
And this is from listener two episodes ago, or not even three episodes ago, our Christmas song draft. We asked people to vote on which of us had the better draft. Hundreds of you voted.
Oh, and we were at a dead even split.
It took a long time to go through all the votes. We don't have to tell many votes there were.
It was a lot. So I had to wait for that one final deciding vote. And it came from our buddy Rob Hermanson.
Okay, now that I have a name, I'm ready to.
I will, because he's the deciding.
Real quick, did we decide? I don't think, and knowing now that you know, I feel like we should have come up with like what happens to the loser before one of us knew. I feel like now it's ruined because whatever we come up with, it's like you already know what it is.
I only know who won. That's it.
But that's the thing. If you know who won, if we decide what the loser has to do, you're like, of course I'm going to make you do this awful thing. I know that you lost.
Both of us have a pretty strong sense of compassion, I believe. maybe not for one another. But I don't think we'll do anything too bad to each other. But
hit me with the news.
All right. I will just say, I will tell you what our buddy Rob said, 1B, as we like to call him, because I'm 2B.
Yeah, for the listener.
And by the way, if you're new to the podcast, we will get into talking about the Arctic Monkeys.
This is important, though. This is important.
This is very important. In fact, stop your listening and go back and listen to the Christmas episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode. And you're probably missing your holiday spirit at this point. Go ahead, bask.
Exactly.
Bask
you're dealing with, what do they call the post-Christmas depression?
I think that's what they call it. I think they call it post-Christmas depression. You're stalling. Give me the news.
All right. To quote Atomic Mandala. Yeah, Mandala on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Colton, but Rob's list is all I want for Christmas. So.
When did that vote come in?
It came in. Well, we were at a dead even split after the 29th.
Votes closed.
I don't think you would have said that if I would have lost.
Oh, listener. Are yes, you listener,
please, please tell us the integrity of Colton.
I'm going to open up a committee. I'm going to go very.
This Congress one's going to get dragged out. Yeah,
I'm going to open up a committee. I want us to vote on whether or not Rob Hermanson's vote should count.
I'll give you this. Tie. We know of certain people that haven't voted. They have a chance to vote now. I will open up the poll.
In order for this podcast and our listeners to get closure, I'm willing to accept an asterisk next to your victory.
Here he is filibustering. Just filibuster away. Just keep on talking, Colton.
And we will. I'm willing to talk to you about what the punishment should be. And I think, well, let's do this off pod. It'll be an off pod. It's not interesting to people on pod.
No, it might be. We're talking punishment. We'll go people are pretty obsessed with punishment.
No, also, I don't want a record of this conversation.
So everybody listening, way to go. Go ahead, and if you have some punishment ideas, email us.
Also, the word punishment feels very harsh for what's happening. This is...
I don't think it's that harsh. I think it's wonderful. Go ahead and email us at no.your.writes, W-R-I-T-E-S. Mm-hmm. .podcast@gmail.com. I just realized that when I say no.your.writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, I want people to know I'm just clarifying the spelling. That's not part of the email.
No, we changed it to exactly what Rob spelled out. So send all of your compliments to Rob McGregor at no.your.writes, W-R-I-T-E-S. Spell out each letter.
Yeah, W-R.
How do you spell W?
D-O-U-B-L-E.
I saw both our minds working at once. We're in tandem.
What would the U be? I'm sure it's not a female sheep. It's not E-W-E.
This podcast has officially reached the... I don't know if it's the peak or the bottom. I can't tell anymore where we are.
We're floating. We're out there floating.
We're floating on, if you will.
By the way, I hope everybody enjoyed Modest Mouse. I very much so enjoyed that episode.
You did. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk today about the Arctic Monkeys, and I've confirmed it is it's Arctic Monkeys.
Not the Arctic Monkeys.
Right.
I know it's named after Alex, the lead vocalist. I can't remember his last name. Alex.
Turner.
Yeah. I know it's some of his father.
It's his father's band. It's like it's been passed down. He said, I love that story.
It's
like
cool, but it's never going to happen again. His kids aren't going to be like, no, dad, you guys are fairly successful.
It should be like the Black Panther. Like you should get a new Arctic Monkeys every couple of years.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I like that. Or Arctic Monkey Jr. Or the second.
We should give my friend Sam to a band.
Neither one of us have kids. So.
We'll just give it to someone else's kids. We'll give it to... I feel like we're getting back into our traditional mode. We haven't done this in a long time, but we're going to do our what we're listening to recently. I think I should go first.
Absolutely.
I believe yours is a nice segue, is what we call it in the biz.
Yeah.
If
you go phonetically on how it's spelled, Sagu.
As is so often in our friendship, I feel like I need to apologize to you because I listen to heavy stuff a lot. That I don't even know sometimes where my emotional frequency is in terms of what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
But I've shown this song to multiple people who likely have recent histories where they're like, Colton or husband, don't share with me this song. But I got this record for Christmas from my brother-in-law, Carlo. Hello, Carlo. I love you.
This recent Christmas?
This recent Christmas. And it's Vic Chestnut. The record is At the Cut. He has a lot of records. He has like 12 or so records, I think. And I really only listened to the more recent ones. I haven't listened to a lot of the older ones. But At the Cut is my favorite of those. And Flirted With You All My Life is probably in my very arbitrary top 10 songs.
It's number one on Spotify. I know that much.
It is. Well, there you go.
It's a great song, man. When I was listening to it, right when it started, I was just like, is this going to be instrumental? I don't know anything about this guy. And when he kicked in, Bob Dylan was the voice I was kind of hearing. He had a very Dylan-esque, I shouldn't say, I mean, he had a unique nature to his voice, but there was a little bit of a Dylan-esque
I could hear that. It's kind of nasally. It's very, I think everything about his music, that record specifically, and we talk about it, the word I would use is delicate. I love
a fan of that word for
the way
music.
The drums sound, the way the kick sounds in that record, I think is so great. I'm in love with it.
And that kick keeps, it's pretty steady throughout the whole song. It's a pretty steady kind of, I don't know if dragging's the right word, but it's a little bit of a dragging beat, but it's just...
And everything just kind of slinks in. You have that, the 16ths on the hat at first, right? Which you don't normally associate 16ths with a song that feels that slow.
Yeah.
And then when that guitar kicks in, the... I flirted with you all my life. Even kissed you once or twice. That's great.
Oh, it's really good. And it's funny because while I was listening to it, it started sinking in, or I'm like, oh, flirting with death. Okay, here we go, buddy. Like,
yeah.
And but even though you were saying like, oh, you got to be careful with it, listening to it, it's, while I did get a little verklempt, or, you know, no, that's a perfect word. Go SNL. Yeah. Like, for as much as, like, it's a good thing. Like, I love songs that can tug at you that way. And it's such a direct idea that he's talking about that I was just like, oh, okay. Okay, let me take a moment here. And it's beautiful.
It's a very, it's one of those songs we talk about a lot where it's about the one thing. And it's the metaphor, right? That's at the core of all of it. And it still works, even though it's pretty obvious after maybe the first verse. And then he even confirms it by just saying, oh, death, right, at some point. Which,
oh, yeah, oh, death, and then I'm not ready. You know.
And it's somewhat, you know, he has the history where, if you're unfamiliar listener, Vic Chestnut, he was in a car accident when he was younger that left him a paraplegic. So he was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he attempted suicide a few times before, and then killed himself, I think, shortly after this record and the next record were released. So there's some other elements. I don't like to, I don't know, Rob, I don't know if you and I are in the same boat. I hate when people try to pick out, when you have an artist who killed themselves, they try to pick out songs and go, there, they're talking about it there, they're going to do it. I don't know.
I've never really looked at it that way. It's like, I've always been a Nirvana fan. I never thought, I'm like, it seems like really just the entire body of work is kind of a little bit of a cry for help.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of like watching The Dark Knight and saying, well, Heath Ledger, he was clearly in a dark space when he did.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, he seemed like he was method acting a little bit.
But every actor, I don't know, I just hear every actor that talks about it go, he was fine. He was working.
Yeah.
That's the word. But anywho, I don't like to pose this song as like, oh, this dark lore behind this sad artist.
You don't want, you don't want the song. Yeah, you don't want the suicide to validate the song, even though I mean, because it's like people still talk about Linkin Park now like they're the most brilliant band. And I mean, rest in peace, Chester. It's sad what happened with you. I'm going like, it doesn't necessarily mean that the song's lyrics are all of a sudden really good.
Right. It's the, and I know we've talked about this once before, but I think it's important to bring up. You can't, I think you put it best. You don't want it to validate the act, but at the same time, I think the song on its own is just really pretty. So there you go, everybody. Yeah. Enjoy your downer for the beginning of the year, or not even, you're in February. Enjoy your downer for Valentine's Day.
I love that. Yes.
Is this Valentine's Day? I don't know.
I really don't know what date this episode's coming out on.
I hope I got flowers. I hope. So you threw me for a loop because you're next. Well, just tell me, who is your artist?
All right. So this is just kind of a nice segue into our commercial break. But my artist is Arctic Monkeys, No Buses, because that's the song that like kind of stirred some interest in the Arctic Monkeys. I remember just seeing it like on
Arctic Monkeys, know that.
It was by the Arctic Monkeys. The song is called The No Buses. Okay, it's called No Buses, everybody. Yeah, it's off of an EP they have called Fuck the Arctic Monkeys. Or Who the Fuck Are the Arctic Monkeys? Yeah. Sorry, everybody. But but I saw it on probably like MTV2 or something. One of those stints to where we had those bonus channels on cable.
Ooh, MTV2 was great. Is that even around anymore?
And I'm assuming there's plenty of, you know, tons of, you know, MTV2 reality television going on. What a shame that was, man. MTV used to actually be cool and music.
I know. I feel bad. I feel like I got us off, but that is a shame.
That huge bummer. But anyway, yeah, I think I saw it on there and I was, this song's beautiful. And the first time listening to one of their albums and then listening to the next album, like, what the hell is this song? It didn't make any of the cuts. And I just think it's a really pretty song. It's got a nice development. I always love when it goes into like, let's go down, dot, 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 dot. And the way that's all the drums are doing. I'm like, that's so reserved. Mm-hmm. That is so.
They'll never be reserved again.
They will not be. Yes. And when they do try to get a little more reserved, I don't particularly favor it.
I already know how the rest of this episode is going to go just from this very brief conversation that you and I are having.
Yes.
It's all. But this song did remind me a lot of my favorite track off of their first record, which is Riot Band, which I adore that song. And it has a very similar vibe.
Yeah, it's got that development to the song and without becoming huge. You know, it still stays within this like delicate area.
There you go. And no, so, I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So what do you say? We want to take a quick commercial break and
we're going to take a quick commercial break and we're going to talk about Arctic Monkey.
Just
Arctic.
Three albums, everybody. We are
so hard not to say the.
I'm sure they don't care. I mean, who the fuck are the Arctic Monkeys? Isn't that?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah, so they're already trying to throw us for a loop.
Blokes from across the pond. Okay, everybody enjoy when these
we get,
commercials.
When we get back from it, we'll be talking about just the first three albums.
All right.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball and Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
I always do that in my classes when like my students are working. I'll do welcome back. But I'm doing it from the Mace track. You remember that when Mace came back?
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing it from Welcome Back Carter.
Which is what it's sampled from. But yeah. I always do the Mace version. I can't stop.
According to my parents, I was as a baby, that was what they would throw on to like calm me down. It was Welcome Back Carter.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm just like something about John Travolta and
my
that
Spanish,
went away.
None of this should be in the podcast. My Spanish group in 10th grade, we did a video skit in Spanish and we did a skit of Welcome Back Carter. And I'd never seen the show. So I can't remember what I was. I think I was the horse shack guy.
I don't remember. They were playing it when I was a baby.
I don't know.
And by the way, you really need to learn your lesson, Colton. Stop saying this can't be in the podcast because I think you know what I do when you say that.
You highlight. You have that frequency too in your editing.
Just go like, let me double it.
Oh, Lord. So this was your pick, Rob.
This
is your fault. No, it's not.
Actually, you know, I do find fault in my pick, though. I should have gone all the way up to AM. I do think I dropped the ball on that. But I think the reason I was doing that is just because I stopped listening after Humbug. And so I just kind of wanted to go, you know, and it's actually technically your fault because you bought me a vinyl for Christmas and that kind of inspired my decision. And so I'm like, I didn't get Colton shit for Christmas. So I went like, all right, I'll give him a episode topic.
You get me this podcast every other week. That's the gift you give me.
Every week he's like, do you have a receipt?
So let's take a step back though, because we have a small history of those of you who keep up with the lore of our friendship, which is probably just us. The history we have with this is you were into Arctic Monkeys. This had to have been back in 2006.
I think it's probably it wasn't when the record came out.
Okay, it was maybe short. So it had been like 2007.
Like I said, the first Stirring is No Buses, which came out between Whatever People Say I Am and Your Favorite Worst Nightmare.
Your Favorite Weapon. Yeah,
I always want to say that. I mix them and Brand New up all the time. But
those song titles are very similar. But yes. Worst Nightmare.
Yeah, and so I think I got into them after Favorite Worst Nightmare. And actually, oddly enough, he's already been mentioned. Rob Hermanson's the one who just said, you got to listen to these albums. And
Hermanson, 1B.
I'm mad at him.
I don't want to mention 1B. Get him out of here. Kick it.
That's very true. For a moment there, I'm like, oh God, what happened?
What did 1B do? We all know what he did. So what was the thing? You already talked about No Buses, but what is it about Arctic Monkeys that for you makes them something you want to talk about? Like, what is it that kind of drew you in and got you into those initial records?
They had such a, well, first of all, just cool energy. Even though, to be honest, the first two tracks I listened with a friend of mine, and her and I both were just like, this isn't that good. The first two tracks of Your Favorite favorite Worst Weapon.
Yeah, Favorite Worst Nightmare. We're going to get it. We'll get it.
No, I won't. But we listened to the first two tracks, and I'm like, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it just started kind of climbing in, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. But I always like the fact that this sounds like an insult, but they sound like guys who aren't necessarily that good at their instrument, but they know how to write a cool song. You know what I mean? Like when you listen to the lead guitar, it doesn't have this very polished lead guitar style. It's very plucky.
I once made this comment about Manchester Orchestra, and that it was meant there as like a negative thing. Here, mm-hmm. I could say like some of these riffs do sound like you're just messing around with the fretboard and you found like a string of notes. Like you just kind of come across a string of notes and you're like, sure, I'll do this.
I kind of see it the same way, but I also kind of see it to where it's like they know it, but they don't have the real chops to nail it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've said this before about some of your guitar solos where I'm like, let me play the part.
I give you the idea and then you go, okay, let me translate that into guitar.
To where and the drummer reminded me a lot of my drummer at the time.
Message received.
There you go. Yes.
I do. And like when you presented Arctic Monkeys to me, and I think this is right, you said, this is a band I think that the band we were currently at the time, my friend Sam, mm-hmm. they sound like something we could be.
Yeah.
I disagree. But.
Well, to be fair, you didn't fucking listen to them when I suggested it to you.
At the time, I was probably like, oh, yeah. No, I don't know why I don't listen to recommendations. It's not because I'm like mad at the time. I just. It's kind of like when people text me.
Not with text. Not at all with text.
My wife is now my.
It's turned into my new habit. Like I just go like, hey, Casey, I'm sorry to bother you, but tell Colton I got a flat tire.
And I'm sitting right next to him and I go, what's Rob saying? That's my. I am interested, though, in what you said, that they remind you of that, because there's definitely some sporadic, very frantic energy to them that I mm-hmm. recognize in later stuff that we did that makes sense to me. I think that first record, you said, like, the energy of it, I totally get that. That is I think unrelenting is the word I would use. There's some moments that dip, but it's very, like, every song. And also, weirdly, have, like metal riffs and like
they do. There's a song on Humbug that I was listening to today, which I know this isn't the first two are much more frantic than Humbug,
right,
exceedingly, but listening to it, I was like, this is Coheed. Like there was one song that I'm like, this is a Coheed thing. I've heard this before.
Yeah, they dip into everything, and their Wikipedia is very obnoxious with this, because if you go to their Wikipedia thing for,
you know, I Wikipedia,
yeah, you
baby.
Did that, you wikied it bad,
that's right.
Their influences, which I hate that section for any Wikipedia thing because it always just sounds ridiculous, but there's so many different kinds of rock that they're associated with. Weirdly enough, though, dance rock doesn't come into any of those, and when I first heard Arctic Monkeys, that's the first thing I remember thinking.
Oh yeah, because
they're a dance rock band.
I can hear shreds of garage rock revival, but really at that point, like, it's just kind of garage rocky.
I think that's like the production style, though. I don't think that's like, it's not a songwriting
No, I agree with you. One of the first thoughts I have is I'm like, this is something you can dance to. Like, yes, it's very energetic, but it's got like a little bit more of, I don't picture a mosh pit. I don't picture like people doing what they used to do with the ska dance. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Skanking.
Yeah. Skanking. Like, I don't see that. I just see like people actually looking good on the dance floor.
It's I think a lot of it is the drummer. Right, he does a lot of the kick and hi hat open, which I definitely have done in the past.
Well, can we get into the it's no longer secret. Can we get into the magic sauce?
What is the magic sauce?
I think it's the rhythm section and excluding guitars. I think the drummer and the bass player are they're the magic sauce behind it.
I get it. I didn't.
Okay,
I think
that
the
facial
drummer
expression.
Is not. I think the thing with me about the drumming and the Arctic Monkeys, I think in the first two records especially, I think it sounds like a band where I want to play drums to these songs. Like, it sounds super fun.
You guys
to play to them.
Your styles, especially at the time.
And I think that's maybe what
very
it is.
Similar.
I see some of the drums that I wrote in like the first iteration of My Friend Sam. Listeners, this means nothing to you. Don't worry about
they
it.
They got a taste of it two episodes
maybe
ago.
Maybe a little bit. But the very
and
first
I noticed that
of...
I cut out the vocals like immediately when the vocals started. I'm like, no, you don't need that much of a taste.
I think it's he plays a lot to the notes of the guitar. And like there's a lot of where the notes and the drums and there'll be a lot of like the notes and the fills or the notes and the snare fills, right, are kind of going in sync. And that could be really fun to play with. I love doing that because it feels very intricate. Everyone's in the pocket. It feels really great. Yeah. I think there's a lot of that in the record. And I don't necessarily think, I don't know. I think at some point I'm like, wow, that's a lot of drums. So much drums. For the whole record.
To be fair, our very first album with My Friend Sam, you couldn't stop playing drums. Or else the guitarist would be off of beat.
Where this is major shade thrown to, but
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
I don't think he listens to this podcast.
Listen away, man. I got some things I'm not fond of.
But that is all to say, there's a lot of like I just think them playing together is a lot of fun to listen to, and I know that at least two of them were in an instrumental band with I think Brand Turner's father. And it makes sense to me that they were in an instrumental band first. I think a lot of these tracks feel like they are written in the music level first.
It makes total sense. I mean, the way he sings is it's almost like he has the lyrics first. And then he just starts kind of piecing in how he's going to phrase it. You told me this once upon a time ago.
Once upon a time ago, man.
Yeah. But where you were saying you're like most of the time I'll have the lyrics first and then I just kind of like while strumming you would start singing along and you'd find ways how you could like kind of paraphrase the exact line. And
yeah, I've definitely done that.
I hated you for that because I'm like I don't do that at all. I do the I think Paul Simon says he'll kind of write and just like da-ma-da-ma. And then it's like okay now I got to find lyrics for that. Like why do I want?
That's why I'm a better songwriter than Paul Simon. That's it.
And me.
That can't be on the pot. And if it is, that was a joke. I do not think I'm a better songwriter than Paul Simon. I don't think
so. You think you're a better songwriter than me, punk? All right.
That's good. I wouldn't even think of you.
This is going on the podcast.
This is awful. Anywho, yeah. Well, definitely. I think he's a great lyric writer. Like I actually,
Paul Simon. I agree, man.
Yes.
I'm not letting go. Yes, Grace Alex Turner is a very good lyricist.
I call him Brandon Turner. What's going on with me? I really
never
think
known
he is. And that's something, I think that's my biggest revelation from this. Because I remember listening to, I think the track I probably listened to first was The View from the Afternoon. Mm-hmm. And
I
Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. And I think I'm going back into like 2007 Colton. My guess is when
that's
I heard
a dark place.
I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, I categorized it as this is like kind of dance rocky, kind of like, I don't know. I think I even thought it was like The Killers and stuff where I was just like not totally in that mode.
Yeah.
And I put it to the side. And I'm sad about that because I think that first record, especially High School and College Colton, would have loved that record.
I thought so too, man. And one of the biggest reasons I suggested it, even though you have some more particular But I can remember going back into 2007, talk about dark places, 2007 Rob's mind. That I can remember thinking, like, this guy's a really good lyricist. Colton would love this.
But isn't it crazy? Like, when I look at, so this first record came out 2006. The bands that were out at that time, it's like an indie rock, like, who's you?
When you gave me the hint before you gave me that on vinyl, you were like, just tell me what 2006 albums you had. I think you said something like that. And so I went online, I'm going like, okay, what album is he getting me? Let me look at all the 2006 albums being released. And I was like, I have no idea what he's getting me, because there's some good shit.
Vampire Weekend came out 2006. I know MGMT was in around then. Like that was like the big, Vampire Weekend, MGMT were like the big bands that people were talking about that summer. I remember.
Well, I think there's one, and just because I've thrown so much shade at him, Tool also released an album.
Yeah, but I don't think the
they're not indie. I get what you're talking about. What circle?
Listen to Vampire Weekend and Tool. I'm not saying it's non-existent.
They have to overlap a little bit.
I'm saying you're in.
And for example, Colton now, but it took a while. Definitely down in 2006.
Hey, Fear Inoculum, baby. Fear of
it all. What was that?
That's my Fear Inoculum.
What song was that?
That is Fear Inoculum, song.
Oh yeah, I see. You said you do it during Wim Hof or whatever, and I think that's why you only know that song. You've never listened to the rest of the album.
Not true. Not true. But anyway, that is like a crazy good time for like indie rock music.
And just music in general. Sure. Okay, indie rock. We'll stick to the indie rock thing. All right. But yeah, no, it's a shame that you missed the boat at that moment.
I'm afraid this is, well, I'm on the boat.
We don't know. We haven't gotten into our rankings, which I don't have yet. Do you have yours locked away?
Of course. The episode started. I have all my notes taken.
Oh, that's right. I was going to tell you. I'm going old school. I have zero notes.
I figured because you're just looking at me with nothing in your hands.
Uh-huh.
And you have a phone that I can see on the phone next to you. It's just the first record cover art making me think that you literally just finished listening to it.
I just brought it up so I could look at the tracks.
Okay, yeah. My deduction skills are on point. You have no notes. You don't know what your favorite song is.
Well, they're up here.
He's pointing at his head, ladies and gentlemen. He has no notes. This is happening. I want to say right off the bat, I enjoyed myself. I think I'm going to enjoy myself more in the future. That's my...
Are we, if I'm not mistaken, is this part one?
Well, yeah, let's announce it. Why not?
Yeah, there's not going to be any hints at the end of this. I don't know why we would save this as a hint for later. We're going to do the rest of Arctic Monkeys the next episode.
Yeah, we decided... Yeah. Rob had this idea. I thought it was great. And I also...
I did not have this idea.
You had this idea.
You're the one who told me you liked their last two albums or whatever.
Yeah, I threw that out as like, hey, we're just talking. I like the last two records.
No, then you said it. And I said, no, let's save it. And you were like, are you sure you want to save it? I'm like, screw it. Let's just do it. I think I was just the decisive one out of us. Don't give me credit for making the decision.
you're wanting me to take credit as if you know it's a bad idea. But yeah,
it was my idea. It seems like a lot of Arctic Monkeys, but we're doing it, everybody.
We're getting more Arctic Monkeys. Yeah. They love it.
For all the new listeners, you got another 2 weeks until you're going to listen to another great episode from these two numbskulls.
Rob Hermanson, 1B, traitor, Judas, is going to love it.
He said sorry, Colton. Yeah. He just has taste.
Apology rejected.
Yeah, he probably told you to listen to Arctic Monkeys too, and you just didn't.
I'm certain that happened.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? Email no.your.rights.podcast@gmail.com. Tell Colton what's wrong with him.
Yeah, Colton, give my Christmas selections a second chance. You may see something that all of those voters saw.
We're going to, all of those voters, we're
a whole bunch of them,
dive into our categories now, which I'm very prepared for. And in fact, I'm going to give you do you have your best song? Are you ready?
Yeah, I got two of them.
For the uninitiated, we have six categories. We have best song, worst song, underrated and overrated, the meaning of which changes episode to episode, best album and worst album, culminating in a 0 to 10, I don't even know if we can give a zero. I guess 1 out of 10 rating.
Yeah, well, apparently we can't give a zero. This is evident in some of the artists that we have
Yeah. Even though maybe, yeah. So
maybe an album or two we can give a zero.
This will be interesting because we're going to be ranking or rating, quote, whatever you call it, their first three. And yeah. Then looking at the back half, I'm excited about this. I think this will be a fun way. And that, there's tons of artists I would love to do this with anyway. Yeah. It's a cool exercise.
Basically, we're testing the waters here, everybody. We're only 22 episodes into our very young podcast.
You are the guinea pigs. Here we go. So, Rob, get us started.
We are the very terrible scientists.
give me your best song.
All right. It was. I just have to honorable mention. I'm sorry. Just perhaps Vampires is a bit strong, but Ellipsis, that song is so good. Are you familiar with it?
All you people
are vampires. Bam, bam, bam. The evolution of that song is just so good, and it's so freaking rocking.
Instrumental at the end is ripping. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and that's the part I love is what I just sang, the fact that the music stops and it rings, then he just shouts that out, and band is going. Oh, it's great. So honorable mention, that one was really close. But A Certain Romance.
Interesting.
Quite interesting. I think that song's so beautiful. And lyrically, it was one of those, I was like, let me listen to what the lyrics are talking about. I'm like, never thought this was what it was about. But it's just, every time the song plays, I have this really corny thing I do when I'm really feeling a song that I'll just kind of like tilt my head back and put my hand in my heart like I'm on an old television show that I'm forgetting the name of, right? Samson and Son, or Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do kind of that, but it's so, so pretty. Are you listening to it really quick?
I'm looking back at the lyrics again to remind myself. I mean, I've listened to it a couple of times. I have it as a category. It's not like I, on that record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I have to almost tell you what I think it is. It's going to be my overrated.
Really? Why is that song overrated?
Literally just because when I was going through, that's the song that every critic has called out on that first record as the like best track on that record. And it's really great.
Hmm.
And it's like, it was like in like, I think Rolling Stone or someone's like in top 100 songs of the decade. That was the only Arctic Monkeys song in the count. Like,
how did I miss that?
A lot of attention.
God, and yeah. I always,
those reasons alone, I was like, I like that song, but I think there are better tracks on that record. But I do think it's a good song.
I love that song. Maybe it's just the way the music hits me. I like that little offbeat, little kind of ska riff that goes with just kind of the more scattered little lead guitar on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know, it's just really pretty to me. I always think it's Marty Bum. And when I listen to the album, I'm like, oh, Marty Bum is my song. I love this song. It's the best song.
Yeah.
And then I realize when a certain romance comes on, I'm like, oh, no, that's the one that I love. Marty Bum's great, but that's the one that I'm like, oh, out of those two, I choose this one. But
it's definitely, that is Alex Turner. That's his song. It's great. Yeah. And I think the images he brings up, it's all, mm-hmm. and it's like perfect closer to that record, right? I think when you really think about that record as a concept record of what it means to live in Sheffield, which I don't live in Sheffield, but I know it's a steel town. It's rough and rumble.
I love the way one, not a critic, it was like one of their colleagues described it, where it's just like, it's very a night out.
And it feels that way too. Like the story of like the amping up, like the view from the afternoon perhaps, mm-hmm. and then getting into it. And then it like starts to turn sour and chaotic. And then it ends wistfully, right? Looking back at things.
And the cool thing, like the opener for A Certain Romance, you think this is going to be, this is, oh, okay, here we go. They're going to go big, and then just cuts out with that just really breathing moment. And it feels like almost like the end of a night. I love it. I love that song. It does something to my soul. It's, again, I'm not the lyricist, so Colton will have the right words for it. For me, I just say I just feel it. I feel it.
He's tapping his chest.
Again, I'm doing the, what did I say before? Samson and Sons.
Samson.
Terrible.
Yeah,
Stanford. Samson. Yes.
I, even though I have it as my overrated, and when we get to there, I'll defend myself even more. I think it's really great.
It's out of the way now.
Yeah, of course I'm going to talk about it again. I can't not share myself, but my best song is from that same record. And it is The View from the Afternoon.
On the opposite end of the album.
Yeah. And yes. with openers and closers. And the reason being is I actually found it difficult because there's a lot of songs on, I think on all the records, like I loved songs in each and every one of them. Mm-hmm. And this was a band where this actually reminded me a lot of the Hives, where
I can. Okay. Explain.
And they write in a mode and they have like they have songs that dip out of that, but they're definitely have an Arctic Monkeys mode that they're most comfortable in. And the first two records, especially, you hear it. It's that kind of dancey, a lot of angular single note lines.
A lot of bass and lead guitar playing virtually the same thing.
Kind right. And then they'll have that kind of like, not quite reggae. I'm not even sure what you call those chords, but like the kind of clean guitar.
Mm-hmm. A lot of bar chords.
Yeah, a lot of and very kind of atonal, right? And I think there are moments where that kind of doesn't do it for me. I think I chose The View from the Afternoon because, just like I said with the Hives, I think I chose, I can't remember, Supply and Demand? God, who knows which one I chose.
Yeah, listener. But, any of you new listeners, go back and listen to our Hives episode and email us.
I remember the reason why I chose that song. I said, that to me is the perfect representation of everything they do well. That makes the Hives what they are. And that's, to me, what The View from the Afternoon is. It's them firing at all cylinders. It opens with what I think is a really playful kind of, like, it's almost jarring, right? Like, it's a, you're expecting something else. And when it opens to what the song really is, it's this really playful, dancey thing. But the best part of it to me is when it opens into what essentially is the chorus, right? That major chord. That to me is where I was like, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm definitely.
You won't be surprised.
That it needed that. And some of their songs don't do that. And those are the songs that don't work for me. They feel really unrelenting and a little tiring.
And you know what? I can hear a Hives similarity because they do that little dump, bump, 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 bump. Where they do little like bouncing off of each other. I'm like, that's very Hives, but it's such a cool moment. And that's also something that they really like to do. They like to do like big pauses and then do something. But yeah, they're very good at the interplay, especially on this album.
Mm-hmm. And that is even like, of course, lyrics wise, right? Like, I just think it's a very, God, like it is, it's lyric writing, and it's not, it feels very conversational too. Like,
yeah, but that's the beauty of it, is he's a really good lyricist. Alex Turner, it's very like easy. It's not forced, and it's telling a good story, and it has some little clever moments with like, I'll bring it up later, but there's certain lyrics on this album that I just think are brilliant.
There's a term in the study of literature, American literature specifically.
Let us have it.
Like early American lit, there is a form of realism. Realism is like literature that's seeking to, like, it's what it is, right? Represent life as clearly as possible.
Yeah.
And regionalism is a kind of a subset of that. Regionalism is like in different parts of the U.S., authors seeking to most closely represent that part of the country in as true a way as possible. And that, to me, I think this first record is a great example of that, right?
Of regionalism.
Like, of regional, yeah. You're just trying to, the way that he sings, even the way the lyrics blend, the stories he's telling, it feels so much a part of what it feels like that town is. It's what makes it so compelling. I really like it.
Pretty awesome. So this is what your students have to deal with? Like, I feel like I'm on a Zoom meeting
you can't see the hand motions, but the hand motions are great, people. That's what sells it.
Speaking of, Max, thank you. Our buddy Max sent us an email saying that we look good, and we requested that two episodes. Just somebody sent us an email telling us we look good, and he just nice and simple told us that. That's right. Colton did the little pop collar thing to his cardigan.
It's Grandpa cardigan. So let's get into a worst song, and I'll start us.
You go ahead. I want to.
I think they have a truly bad song? I don't think so.
Okay.
But
I've learned something about myself, but I'll let you go. I'm sorry.
Well, I think This House is a Circus is as close as I got. This is from your favorite Worst Nightmare, where I was like, okay, this is where their formula, I either it's letting them down or I'm just sick of them. Let's play.
Ooh, worst song. I like that chorus. Every time I hear it, that chorus kind of tugs me in. I think it's got... I like the groupie, the group kind of chant together.
I think it's... On that record especially, there's a lot of two-note progressions where it's like bump, 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 bump. And they do that a lot. And in this one, it just felt really annoying. I was like, it just doesn't, the way it works, it ends up kind of grating because it's not, when you don't have a progression that takes you anywhere, now I'm left to listen to the lyrics. And I think lyrically, to me, that's one of the weaker songs that he has.
That could be, and obviously I didn't go that route, but I just felt the build of that chorus, like when they all come together. But that's a good argument. I don't agree at all with that being the worst song. But.
Well, I'm interested. I mean, I had others where I'm like not totally in across them, but that definitely, that second record to me was a hard one to get through because it felt like it was so close to the first one, Everything People Say I Am, but it was like the less good version. So I think that first record's really good. And I felt the second one was like more of the same.
I won't disagree with that, but I do still think that second album has a little bit of uniqueness. But I do see what you mean. They are very similar. But
ending with it.
Well, I think I learned that I don't like when bands spell out words.
Oh.
I am not a fan of that. I almost chose Potion Approaching, but it is definitely dangerous.
But Rob, what is your worst album?
Dangerous Animals, man. And it's because he's such a good freaking lyricist. And I'm like, no, he spells out animal. It's like dark. And the way he spells animal, I'm like, it sounds like you're saying some weird fucking word. Like, and then he gets the D-A-N-G-E-R-O-U-S. I'm like, no, I don't like this. I don't like band. I'm cool with it in hip hop. I'm cool with it in other genres. For some reason with a band, I'm like, you're being fucking lazy, dude.
I don't think I like it in anything. I think it is. Let's add it to the list. What are the
See,
lists?
I was
going to
take
don'ts?
It for myself because you have like children singing and whispering.
That's just in general. Never sing. Like, not even just in music. Just don't sing, children.
I can't wait for your birthday. I'm going to write a song in which I'm going to hire a children's choir to whisper spelling of words.
Don't use broken.
No broken, no falling.
Never rhyme life with strife. Oh my God.
The obvious rhyming schemes. That's just, there's so many of that. But yeah, that song just pissed me off. And then honestly, I think Potion Approaching is god awful too.
I love Potion Approaching.
Okay, I think it's bad.
We're going to have a talk. You are not going to like me at the end of this podcast.
I may not.
I love Potion Approaching.
I don't know how.
I think that's cool, man. I don't know. But I do agree with you. Like, this was the song where I was like, oh, man. Like, this is like a quick aside. There was a band that my sister and I, and other people who might know me, you might have been aware of this band. They played a lot of Lancaster. They toured through a lot. They're called National Product. They were like somewhat Seosin-esque, but way poppier, way more commercial. And they were always very nice to people that made us excited to want to watch them. But they came out with a song. I don't remember what the name of the song was, but I remember the lyric. I'll never forget it. Because the whole thing is like, do you miss me at all? Right. That was the end of the chorus. And the end of the song, he goes, do you
You don't have to.
I can't even spell it, but he spells the whole. I want you to find it so you can put it here because I don't think people will remember it.
I don't want to find it.
I'll send it to you.
I will double your voice at that moment that you were trying to do it.
M-I-S-S-M-E-A-T-A-L-L.
You know, I did like that Mississippi song, the M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-E-P. Going to Mississippi, going to have a good time.
But yeah, people writing songs never spell things. We don't need you to spell them.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up the Hives. I can remember my least favorite Hives song.
Yeah, which one do they spell?
It's the T-H-E. H-I-V-E-S.
Oh, yeah. In my household now, the giddy up is a favorite. It's a favorite of my wife's. She likes it. I sing Giddy Up. We dance to it. It's very funny.
I
love it. Get in the morning. Giddy Up. I'm just throwing that out about the Hives.
I might have liked it if it was Isaac Brock and Modest Mouse doing it.
It does sound like
that. That's the best opportunity it has of being a song I can tolerate.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, those two songs, when you said there's no bad songs, I'm sorry, those two songs are bad. But it's interesting that you actually like it. But you also, you threw my favorite song into the overrated.
I think those two, to me, including the one I brought up, I think they're flawed. I don't think, like, that to me, here's the thing. This sounds like a gig.
No, freaking Dangerous Animals is not a good song. It's not flawed. That's
you hate
the
it
because
of the spelling, but there are other elements of that song that works. All right. Underrated.
Sorry, everybody.
You go first. I went first.
Actually, no, you should go first.
Oh, please. No, Rob. I want you to go. We can spend all the time.
I have so many notes to go through. Underrated song?
Panic. Yes.
Fluorescent Adolescent.
Okay.
I love that song. It's actually the first song that grabbed me. Like I was telling you earlier, this was the first album I listened to. When that song came on and that just like boom, bam, again, that little Hive saying to where like the little play between the two guitars. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's wonderful. And it's underrated because how did that thing, like, it was a single and nobody talks about it.
And it's a single with a very funny video.
I don't watch the videos, everybody. I just kind of take in the music. I will watch the video once we get off of this podcast, I promise. And then I will. I'll talk about it next episode, and I never do.
Yeah. I really like that song. I do. Yeah. And there's a lot of songs on that record to me that kind of wash. And then I think Fluorescent Adolescent was like the first song on that record. I was like, oh, yeah. It's kind of a brush of.
A breath of fresh air?
Thank you for that. A breath of fresh air. This is why we don't record on any other day.
Yeah, we messed
Sunday
up.
Sunday at 2:30, people.
Yes. And this is like, I think this is our third rescheduling of it. Or second rescheduling.
Possible. Yeah. Can I say, I think Fluorescent Adolescent, that to me is a little Vampire Weekend-y. Like it kind of.
I can hear that. Yeah.
I think it's the melody. It's the vocal delivery. But I think it's also got lots of AM staples in it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And again, this was the moment where I'm like, 1B, you almost got me in. And it's like, it sounds okay. And that song, from then on, the rest of the album, I think is great. And I do like the beginning of the album too now. But then I listen to Whatever People Say I Am. And after listening to that, I'm like, all right, I love this band.
At some point, we're going to be able to say that full album title all the way through. I can't. So you have to. But I'm afraid to try.
Whatever People Say I Am is what I'm not. I don't know.
Okay.
That's why we paraphrase it. That's the beauty behind them. You just say, you know, whatever people say I am.
Whatever.
That's how good you guys are. If we're talking Arctic Monkeys, you should know.
My underrated is from that same album. It's 505. That's great. And the reason it's underrated is, I feel like I'm just giving everything away. I didn't love that album so much. But that song, and there were little bursts of things. Mm-hmm. I thought 505 was... I was like not expecting the closer to hit me like it did. And again, it's the lyrics. I just think he does something. I want to bring it up.
It's a little raunchy in that one.
Well,
but it's to be fair. I think sometimes it's more laughing at it than.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's the chorus, man. I'm going back to 505. It's a 7-hour flight or a 45-minute drive. Mm-hmm. So when he says 505.
In my imagination.
Well, wait, I want to point out something.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
When he says 505 and then he goes to or a 45 minute drive, so you're annoyed, like, oh, he's rhyming 505, he can't. And then he does drive right after that. And puts this kind of like circular feeling to it, which is kind of the loop he's talking about.
And it's funny you say that. I could recite these lyrics. Me, of all people, I could recite these lyrics off the top of my head. Never once did I think of him rhyming five with five. That's how seamless it was.
And it works so nicely. And just for fun, he throws in flight, which is like kind of a slant rhyme to five in there. The I, it flows so beautifully. And I love the image he brings after. In my imagination, you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs.
Of course you love that image.
No, it's great.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. No. I think it is the kind of the more the sexy side of love. You know, it doesn't sound like he's being like a perv.
I think you're misreading. I don't think that's what you're saying. It's like, oh, hands between your thighs. I think it's like she's lying on her side and like you kind of put your hands between your thighs when you lie.
I don't think that support. At all.
Oh, I don't think that.
Wow. Hey, listeners.
This is total innocent. Like, he's imagining her lying on her side in the bed. It's like a very like compelling image.
Maybe this is like you're the more innocent thinking one, and I'm the one with my mind in the gutter.
It's just funny because I remember listening to 505 and thinking that's just like a really like kind of sweet, enduring image of like thinking about, I don't know, old cinema.
I always thought of it as you're doing something between those thighs. Wow. Like your hand between your thigh. Okay.
Does anyone else sleep with your hand between your legs? Or it's like sleep with the pillow between your legs. It's comforting. It kind of helps your back, too.
If he would have said lying on your side with a pillow between your thighs, yes, I wouldn't go in.
To support your lower back.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Hurt in the morning.
Maybe my head's somewhere else, but I thought that was the intention. But great beautiful. Choice. That's a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I love
great.
It.
And when it comes in later on, when the and I crumble completely when you. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. That's the other thing. It's layered, man. And I wish they would do that more because the songs that layer, I think there's too many Arctic Monkeys songs where they're all in, guns blazing, and they're there the whole time. And I think they pack things on so well. I wish they would do more of that.
I don't know. In the first two albums, I'm just like, no, give me. Well, we will be getting into
We're
this.
We're almost there. Yeah. All right. Overrated. I'll just very quickly say the only reason I put A Certain Romance is overrated is, as I mentioned, I already said this, but I got to repeat myself.
That's right. I need you to kill some clock for me anyway.
I'm going to let you go, man. So much attention on A Certain Romance as like the track from that first record. And my co-host here has named it their best song. So maybe I'm wrong. I just think listening to it, and I love it a lot. It almost feels like it's cheating to say it's as good as it is.
Well, that's what bummed me out. When you said that, I had no idea of this common stance on that song. I had no idea that people view that as the best song on the album. I would have never guessed that. I would have guessed it would have been Fake Tales of San Francisco or something like that, because that lyric is fucking excellent. The proof that love's not only blind but deaf. But I'm sorry, I'm distracted from what you're saying, but I would have never have guessed that would be the best song to everybody else. I thought it was just me, and kind of bums. Like I said,
I'm going for the most literal definition of overrated. I just think other songs in that record deserve attention if you want to point any one of them out. So there it is. That's the only reason.
I really want to just say Potion Approaching just because you said you like it, but there's no way in hell because I don't think that's overrated. Because overrated doesn't mean worst song. It doesn't mean it's a bad song, and that's a bad song.
Listening to it again one more time.
We don't need to listen to it again, so we're good.
I got to listen to it one more time.
That's not my overrated.
But I'm going to be talking about it soon, so I need to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm choosing between two here. Yeah, I'll go with what my first choice was.
All right. So your
My
first
Propeller.
Choice.
And that is really like, it's not even the fans' fault for listening because it doesn't even place that high on the charts. I'm saying this to the band Arctic Monkeys. That song should not have been a single. And to some extent, I don't think it should have existed.
So our definition of overrated doesn't necessarily mean a bad song. Rob McGregor is saying, in this case,
It's not a bad song on that album. Am I just showing too much of my hand here? Going.
Best album, Humbug.
Best album is Humbug.
Best album, Humbug.
Ebenezer Scrooge, Humbug. You're crazy. It's not their best album. It's not even close to their best album.
Those first three, when I listened to them, that was the one I had the most fun with. I felt like disgusting. I was like hiding something, like I was living in the shadows. I couldn't say what I was going to say to you. And I was like, yeah, I can't go on with this Humbug slander anymore. I love Josh Homme.
I know that he was part of it. I kind of blame him a little bit.
There's a lot of Queens of the Stone Age on that record. But I think I actually hear. OK, can we do this? Can we talk about
it? So are they a 10 out of 10 now for you? Just because if you like that album, if that's your favorite out of these three, it must be a 10 out of 10.
I think I'm going to make you mad all night. This is going to be, we're not going to,
I'm not
going to
sleep.
Spot.
I'm not going to sleep.
Can I say something? the space to me between that one and the first one is minuscule. Uh-huh. The reason being, and this is a thought, like, Arctic Monkeys to me are such an interesting thought experiment, because I know that they're like the thing that people talk about them is the internet. Like, they're one of the first bands where the internet really kind of helped them out.
Yeah, kind of created them.
And I like that story, because I just think their story is cool, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like a bunch of friends. I mean, that's just like with any band that makes it big, I know. But there's something about it that's really endearing.
Well, the fact that they were kind of pioneering a new way of, hey, we don't need to do radio singles. Like, the internet's kind of carrying our name.
Yeah, but they're also like pounding the streets, giving demos. Like, it's it's a cool thing. But do you think, could they have ever gotten noticed? And I know what you're going to say. So this is like they had to have done that first record to get noticed, right?
Well,
like, if you look at later on,
compared to another album, absolutely.
I guess what I'm trying to say is Humbug for anyone, like a slower record, dronier, right? That style of record. No one puts that record out first. Right?
No.
No one gets noticed with that record. It has to be once you've succeeded to a point, you make a record like that.
I guess. Yeah. But
I'm always a fan of that record. The record that a band or a songwriter couldn't make. In a later episode, I call this the Starbucks record. It is the record that would never get someone attention. They could never cut through the static of all the other bands and stuff to kind of announce themselves otherwise. But it's the record it sounds like they wanted to make, or that they thought they could at that moment, and really get to explore something. I love Humbug, if only for that reason, but also
that has to be the only reason.
No, it's not, man. I think that the way they adapt the Queens of the Stone Age vibe, that very much Josh Homme, and they came to him. They said, I can't remember the exact line, but they said, we want to explore the strange and the weird. You need to take us there. It's a weird record, man, but I really like it.
That's weird.
I think Potion Approaching is great. Yours is the only ocean. Yours is the only ocean. Oh, that's cool. I don't know. It's droney, man. I love it.
And you know I like droney, but they...
Oh, you're a droney guy.
I am a droney guy. I'm a bigger fan.
Your nickname is Rob Droney McGregor.
That's right. I have a lot of nicknames out there, everybody.
I think listening to the first two records in the way that we do this, I got a little tired by the second one.
Jeez.
I don't think, maybe it's just I'm not built for
this album. Didn't make you tired? Humbug didn't make you tired?
I was interested in Humbug. It was, again, records and songs are very different. I think there are individual songs on those first two records that are really, really good and likely better than a lot of them on Humbug. But the way that record unfolds to me, Humbug.
Why is it called Humbug?
Why is it called Humbug? Why is it called whatever people say I am? That's what I'm not.
But I'm just saying, you're saying this is a record. This is a record. Everything like attaches. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I like Secret Door. I like Fire and Thud. Crying Lightning.
Crying Lightning's good.
I guess Cornerstone is.
So let's do this. Can you tell me why it's their worst record? I think you've said quite a bit, but I want you to tell me more.
It's my counter to everything you said.
whatever Colton said, that's what I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much. I don't know. I agree. It's okay that they went after it, but I don't agree that that's what they always wanted to make. I think the first two are like, it's just like that's
for maybe other artists. I don't want to necessarily say with Arctic Monkeys. I think to me it's that's a record that I think it does take kind of courage to want to do, because it's so different.
I'm okay with that.
They really alter their DNA.
I said earlier in it that like My Propeller didn't have to exist. I don't think that this album shouldn't have existed. And actually, it'll be interesting going into our next episode, because I've read like the worst critical approach towards this album was saying it may turn into one of the more monumental albums by him, where it's not immediately memorable, but it might turn into like an important pivot in their career.
I will, just to kind of a quick preview, my estimation of Arctic Monkeys has gone up considerably because of how they have changed. And I think Humbug is a great example of that. Also, Cornerstone is hilarious. Like, and hilarious in a way where it's not like roll your eyes hilarious, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the way he uses that refrain and then turns it, that's British wit, man. That's
what you were not a fan of like a few episodes ago. You weren't a fan of British wit.
No, I'm not a fan of Monty Python. Like, ooh, like, I don't know.
I like Monty Python. This is
our divide. Mingy Stingy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Biting anti-capitalist critique.
Better than humbug. anyway. No, all right. All right.
I feel like I've acquitted myself.
That's fine.
Okay, that's your best record.
I don't have to say my least favorite album that we've ground covered. So we got your best.
You want anything else you want to say about it?
No, it's like I said, I'm okay with them giving it a shot, but it's not even close to whatever people say I am. That's what I'm not.
Which is your best record?
Yeah. Which, good work, Colton. When you bought me that vinyl, he chose my favorite album by him. It's just awesome. And I think it is just the fact that I'm like, that's them. Like, you could have just called it Arctic Monkeys. Right. You know, it's pieced together from definitely songs that they were demoing out and the internet making them. And then they put out this wonderful album from The View from the Afternoon all the way up to A Certain Romance. Everything, I think, is cool as hell, man.
I don't think I can spot a song in there. I mean, there are songs I think, I think it'd be a shorter record. I think it's great. And as a debut, we talked about debut.
41 minutes long. I think that Humbug could be a shorter record, and that's 2 minutes shorter.
You're lucky I didn't really listen to Arctic Monkeys before, because I would have gotten you Humbug on vinyl.
Oh God, yeah, that would. I really don't hate that record, everybody. I just, I'm kind of putting on the fanfare for you.
put it on a little thing. So yeah. I totally get it, man. I think we've already kind of talked about it, but. Yeah. It's not a concept record, and yet it works so beautifully as one.
Yeah, it, like I said, it's a night out. And I love the energy. Yeah, I love the youthful spirit to it.
I think my favorite Arctic Monkeys are ahead of us. That's what I will say.
I'm nervous because, remember, I've only really listened to the first two.
That's right. And that's why I think it's going to be so fascinating. Yeah. I will say this. I don't think I have that fast, frantic guitar work and stuff that they do, and with all the other bands I love that did that, I don't listen to them as much anymore. It's not necessarily my speed. That's why I was telling you, I wish I had listened more to this record back when I was in high school and college, because this record to me is, let's listen to this before we go out,
right? Kind of like a pregame.
Yeah, pregame. That was pregame. We did Ben Queller, Wasted and Ready. My college roommates are not listening to this, but I.
That's all right. My pregame was droney music. It was just like droney music, and I would just be the person.
Queens
in the
of
corner.
The Stone Age. Yours is the only ocean.
Yeah, guys, I just don't. I don't know what it is. It sounded lazy to me. It sounded lazy to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, people, this is an impasse. But I love this. This is like the. We're going to take a break and we're going to hit back on it. We're actually just going to hit record again and record the next episode right after this one. All right, let's go, everyone.
All right.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
All right. So we are back for our final segment of the episode, our ratings, 1 out of 10, not 0 out of 10.
All right. My rating for Colton right now is
if you're going to rate Humbug, our album ratings tend to go 0 out of 5. I guess.
Know, because interesting, because we're about to rate the Arctic Monkeys, but the next episode, we're going to finish listening to the Arctic Monkeys.
My guess is that we do a rating for both. For both sections, and then we might give an ultimate rating.
We find perhaps. The mean.
That'd be kind of funny. Mm. I don't know which one.
But you did ask an interesting question there. If I gave a rating to Humbug,
yeah,
I think I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay, all right.
Which is not bad. That again,
no,
it's like,
no, no. I want you to remember that it's not bad. So let's move forward. My rating for Arctic Monkeys is a 6.5 out of 10.
This segment.
Or
these three. Okay. I'll go a seven. Now you're making me really start thinking about I was trying to be nice to Humbug.
And now you think you want to be five.
Now I kind of want to be a dick to Humbug.
I mean, people know this already. They're very arbitrary. I think I think overall, like if I was just doing the first record, I think it's great. I think that's in the upper echelon. I think the second record, the dip to me is really. Did I say my worst record?
I was about to say, I think we didn't get it. So that's your worst record.
Oh, yeah. Favorite.
We're professionals.
Worst nightmare.
Here. Yes.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't have much to say about it. Listener was probably like, oh, where's Colton's worst record?
I think I got the impression. I almost got the impression you were saying it was the first one.
No, God, no.
But I think that just got caught up in the fact that I was so mean to Humbug.
Yeah. I did hint at it enough. This is why we don't record on weeknights, I guess. But. Yeah. Literally the biggest reason why favorite worst nightmare was my least favorite is everything I've said during the episode. I think it is a lesser version of the first one. I didn't see quite as much growth as apparently other people have seen. But
and somehow in your mind, the first one's not as good as Humbug. So that's saying a lot for how much you dislike your favorite worst.
It's where I'm at, man. That's my journey that I'm taking. But that is all to say.
You can go it alone, buddy.
Into my rating. But your rating is what?
I'm going to give them just because I love those first two so much. And based off of your rating, I always have to kind of one up you.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I'll go exactly one up on it. I'll go a
7.5. 7.5.
Yeah. And it was I think you mentioned earlier how our later stuff in My Friend Sam started having this sound that was similar. I don't think that was really by coincidence.
Yeah. I do want to say, and I didn't want this to sound like an insult because you had already said it didn't sound that first record like they could quite play. Mm-hmm. But I did hear a lot of you, your guitar. I know it's impossible to not make it sound like an insult.
Well, it already sounds like an insult because you're basically telling me that you like Humbug more than you like my music. No,
but that's a certain romance is a good example. The guitar, when it gets soft in a certain romance, that's Rob McGregor. like when I hear that, there that's like go. My Friend Sam era Rob McGregor.
Yep, I hear it. I agree. And that's Colton on drums. What's the name of the drummer again? Because I really do like his playing.
It is Matt Helders.
Yeah, Matt Helders. I'll have your name down by the next episode, I promise.
Certain. Yeah. So we will
I don't promise that. I wouldn't.
Man. We will do all of our categories before the rating section next time. Definitely we'll do that. But also we will see how the final four albums of the Arctic Monkeys stacks up against the first three. So that is what? That is AM, Suck It and See.
Which now all of a sudden, do you see what I mean with 505?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not going to be like, well, Suck It and See. That's just suck like a it nice and little... Yeah. I stand by what I said about 505.
Wait, isn't Suck It and See... Oh, no, that is a full album.
Oh, actually, Suck It and See is next. So Suck It and See, then AM, followed
it's
by...
five albums.
Tranquility Base Hotel.
Oh, wait,
Casino.
No, it's four. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then The Car.
Yep.
All right, so everyone, enjoy listening to the final four Arctic Monkeys albums.
Yeah, and any Arctic Monkey fan who decided to click play on this, come on the journey. Give us one more shot. If you didn't enjoy this, give us one more shot. Maybe we'll
we'll try to get you. If
we'll reel you in.
I have a plug. Can I give a quick plug?
Of course.
Okay. A short story that I wrote and published is out this month on Dark Horses magazine.
No, that's awesome. Yes. What magazine again?
Dark Horses magazine.
Okay.
Don't Google the Dark Horse. That is another magazine. Dark Horses magazine.
We don't like them.
Yeah,
we're going.
Yeah, forget those guys. It's a magazine of weird fiction, which is essentially really horror. And I have a short story, Bad Patient. I write scary things in my spare time.
Yeah. So everybody check out The Bad Patient.
Full name, Colton Scott Sailor, which I remembered. I actually did it that way. I was like, oh, I forgot. Colton
Do you want Scott me to Sailor. Put like a bleep over your middle? No, I guess if you put it under Colton Scott.
Enough people know it's out there. Yeah.
And just for anybody who's interested, your social security number?
Oh, my Lord. So everybody, enjoy listening to the rest of those records. Enjoy what? Valentine's Day?
Whatever.
President's Day?
Whatever you're celebrating.
Martin Luther King Day.
I'm not sure what day this is coming out, everybody, but also enjoy The Patient.
Bad Patient. Yo, I'm Joey Addict. What's going on?
Joey, you know what? Lucky, do you want to say anything? No. All right. He's learning, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye, everyone.